All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, second to last show of the month of June. We are in the thick of it right now, and I mean the offseason, so not really in the thick of anything. But we nevertheless have plenty going on today and this week, and we're going to get to it all on the show today. Here brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. So thank you for joining us, you know, doing this show year-round like we do. I actually got a few complaints last year around this time because I would go off on some other topics. And we're going to do the same thing again today. And of course, yeah, this is JoeBucksFan.com. Yes, this is ultimately a show about the Bucks, as are all of the podcasts on Joe Bucks Fan. But at this time of year, things are a little bit quiet, and that's fine, although there's always news. It seems like our old friend number 93 keeps making sure there's news because he won't shut his mouth about things, for God's sake. But for the most part, there's a lot of other things going on, too, and I'm not going to not talk about them. This show's a forum, first and foremost, and people can email me or get me on Twitter. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay, and I'll talk about whatever you ask me. And I'll talk about things I want to talk about, too. Certainly, there are some things today that cannot be ignored, and we'll get to them. Of course, the first thing you need to know, just like every week, is that if you're looking for a car, Bill Curry is Tampa's first family of Ford. They're proud to announce, as you can always get, used, new, pre-owned, whatever it is, nationwide lifetime warranty. That's on everything they have on the lot. Includes unlimited years, unlimited miles, includes 10-year roadside assistance, includes 1-year complimentary service. You can see all the details if you go to the website, if you want to shop before you go over there. That's what I always do. It's BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can tell Sean Sullivan, the general manager there, about the Joe Bucks Fan discount. He'll already know, of course. Just bring up the website, bring up me, bring up the Free Stretch, whatever it is, and you'll get that on top of the already transparent online pricing, plus the new lifetime warranty. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, right there on the east side of the road, just past the Hillsboro Interchange there on Dale Mabry, where they've always been serving this community proudly for nearly 60 years now, and that's where they're going to continue to be. So check them out or go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. And community is a more important word today than even on any other day. As yesterday, we got news coming down. I'm going to talk about the Rays for a minute. You know, I don't talk about the Rays a lot on this show. I used to talk about them plenty on my old talk show, which covered Tampa Bay sports. But the more I think about it, this podcast, again, I want it to be a Bucks podcast, but I also want it to be a podcast, a show that is relevant to people who are Tampa Bay sports fans. Now, I always tell you guys when I'm talking about the Bucks, I'm born and raised here. Born in 1980, but in utero in the fall of 1979, my mom climbed those steps at the old Sombrero to watch the Bucks in a pouring rain clinch their first playoff berth 3-0 over the Chiefs. Neil O'Donohue, she climbed them again for the first playoff win over the Eagles, and she climbed them again with little tiny blast assist Bobby Fenton for the 79 NFC Championship game. So I go all the way back. And, of course, the Bucks existed for a few years before I was born, but our other two pro sports franchises, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Tampa Bay Rays, have been around for their entire existences. And so, I mean, this stuff runs deep in my blood. I mean, I'm not one of those. Even when I was a kid, I wasn't one of those kids, though. I like the Cowboys. You know how when you're like 8, 9 years old, you kind of go through that phase, maybe? No, not me. Always Bucks, always Lightning, always Rays. So, I care about this area. And I care about this area from a non-sports standpoint, too. This is my hometown. So I often find myself thinking, what is best for our area? You know, just civically, what is best for our area? And if you don't know what I'm getting at, you probably heard by now, yesterday news came down that Stu Sternberg is at least representing the idea that he's interested in possibly looking at the Rays, sharing time between Tampa and Montreal, or I should say St. Pete, or wherever, Tampa Bay and Montreal, where they'd play half of their games. This would be the first ever two-city professional sports team where you'd have the Bucks play, or excuse me, the Rays playing some of their games here, some of their games in Montreal. Which, of course, let's get right up to the, before we go any further, is completely absurd. So, I mean, nobody I mean, literally nobody, from Sternberg himself all the way down to you, the fan, me, the fan, who are reading about these things. Nobody actually believes that's a thing. Nobody in Tampa Bay believes it. Nobody in Montreal believes it. Stu Sternberg doesn't believe it because it's ridiculous. And I actually thought it was ridiculous when I read it just on the first, you know, your phone starts getting alerts and stuff like that. So I saw the alert saying, you know, just the fortune cookie version of this, just a little headline. And I thought, wow, this is dumb. You know, Sternberg's not getting his stadium done. This is one of the ways he's trying to put pressure. And even if the Rays are lame duck, which I don't think that's going to happen, but even if that were to happen, they would never do anything like this. Then I read the story and realized, no, he meant after we build, like we're going to build new stadiums in both places and still do this. And that's when I knew, again, the thing was entirely, entirely ridiculous. And that's when I felt insulted, because I know Stu Sternberg knows that too. And it just felt insulted that he thinks anybody here or in Montreal is that dumb. Because I know this much about Stu Sternberg. He's very smart, and he would never propose something without already knowing what his overall plan is and without already knowing what the overall reaction is going to be. And he knows very well that we're going to react like this, and he knows very well. I mean, again, he is smart. I actually found myself the other day, and I still do this sometimes. You know, I don't host a talk show on the radio anymore. I do this podcast here at Joe Bucks Fan, so it's more Bucks-centric. But I still often find myself thinking of topics and things like that that I would use if I was doing a regular show. And I was just driving the other day. I can't remember where it was. And so I was driving along, and I found myself thinking, you know, if I was doing a show like this week, and this is before the Stadium Montreal thing came out, you know, I'd like to hear why people bitch so much about Stu Sternberg. Why do people dislike him so much? I can't put my finger on it, because if you think about it, I mean, what has happened since he took over? All he's done is come here, completely turn the franchise around with his ownership and his administration, the people he's hired. I mean, everything changed the day. I remember I was there because I was working in radio at the time, so I was there at the press conference. They had these hard hats with the big yellow construction thing and the Rays logo, and it said under construction. And it seemed kind of corny at the time. Like, what, you know, the Rays had just sucked their entire existence. Okay, this new guy. Everybody's always really optimistic. But sure enough, I'll be damned. Like, that's what they were. They were under construction. And from that day, that very day, everything changed with this team. And then I was there a little while later when they hired Joe Maddon. Had never heard of him. Andrew Friedman, Matt Silverman, all these young guys. These are Wall Street guys. You know, they might have played a little, I think Friedman played a little college baseball. What, you know, didn't know any of these people or what the whole plan was. And everything changed. We didn't realize it at the time, but they were getting, and they did. And then they went on to what we all now know was an American League pennant in 2008, a run of playoff appearances. To this day, it's been, you know, 10 and a half or 11 and a half seasons now since 2008. And they have, I think, one of the top five or six records in baseball. If you combine all those seasons, wins and losses, I mean, they're up there with other teams like the Cardinals, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Rays are in that. I mean, you cannot question Stu Sternberg as far as what he has done with the product on the field overall. You can certainly have criticism. I'm not saying that, but the overall result, like I hear people on talk radio or I hear people in conversation, that's Sternberg, man. The guy sucks. You know, he cheaps out. What a terrible owner. You know, he doesn't live here. He's a carpetbagger. He's a Northeast guy. I don't care about any of those things, by the way. All I care about is the team, and he's done amazing things with the team. So you have to say all these things. You can complain, too. I'm like I'm saying, he's not, this isn't a messiah thing. I mean, he's certainly not beyond reproach, and there are criticisms. But you can't question him as an owner. Okay, overall, in my opinion, I'm surprised as many people do as do. But anyway, forget that for a minute. So you get down to all the stuff with attendance that we've been through over and over again, and you have these two sides. On one hand, you have a good owner, a well-run team, a team that, again, on the field has exceeded the wildest expectations we could ever have had when this guy took over. And on the other hand, you have all the crappy attendance and all that stuff. So I'm defending Stu Sternberg a little bit on this point, at least. I mean, to do what he's done with the team and for us to consistently have whatever it is, some nights 6,000, some nights 8,000. The overall average is somewhere in the middle teens. What is it, 13, 14,000? For years and years and years, through good and bad, doesn't matter how good the team has been, this has been a problem the entire time. You're really not in a position, like, it's amazing, like, how good the Rays can be and how crappy the attendance can be, and you all still complain about the owner when we're not doing our part as fans. And I'm not saying it's anybody's job to go to games. I work over there a lot, so I'm there a ton working, but I haven't gone as a paying fan that much myself. I have gone, but not, and a lot of it's because I'm there so much anyway that I don't really go as a fan. But now that my son's older, I take him. So I'm not saying I'm going to lecture you on why you should be going to Rays games, right? But you can't call it. I mean, people that rip Stu Sternberg, I think he's been pretty patient, okay? I think he's been very diplomatic. I think he's very smart, very savvy. And I think that when you look at the results of what this team has had happen to it since he took over, you got a lot of nerve to bitch about it, okay? Quite frankly, if you're one of those people bitching about it, you got a lot of nerve because there ain't a lot to complain about. My one criticism of him, my one main criticism, I should say, is with this whole stadium thing, is a lack of leadership. Stu likes to sit up on his perch, float stuff out there, not really be available for comment, back channels. Even when they came out with the plan for the Ybor Stadium, it wasn't him there. It was like people from the team. It was poster boards of drawings and renderings. There was no concrete plan. He just throws this stuff out there, doesn't really comment, plays everything real close to the vest, and lets people like Ken Hagen, or whether it's Bob Buckhorn or now Jane Castor, or Rick Kreisman, or it was Bill Foster before that in St. Pete, all these politicians, lets them snipe at each other in the media. We need leadership. We need to have Stu Sternberg, not, again, not just the team, but Stu Sternberg himself, stand beside a podium, okay, and say, here is what I want to do, here is how I intend to pay for it, here is going to be my share, here is a plan I think that can be part of your share, I've gotten together with local politicians, unified front, they should all stand there together, here's what we want to do, now, present this, make a plan, present it to us, okay, tell us why it's the right thing to do, and then execute it. And through this whole stadium saga, that has been sorely lacking. It's always, oh, well, here's a plan. You know, I remember going back to even before the Ybor thing, I remember the sail, like, complex. Remember the sail-shaped roof that was going to, like, fan out or whatever, and it was around the St. Pete waterfront? And that was a plan. And I think that stung Stu because he came out with that, thought, hey, this is going to be good. We're you know, making some progress here. I've got a concrete plan. And, of course, all the St. Pete NIMBYs went nuts, not my waterfront, blah, blah. And that's fine. I'm not taking a side in that. My point was that got shot down out of hand. And ever since then, he's like, well, you know what? Screw y'all. You all can figure this out then. That's the, and I'm not trying to say I know what he's thinking for sure, but I feel like way back then, that was, man, over 10 years ago now, right? I feel like since then, he went ahead and said, you know what? Fine. You figure it out. And I'll tell you when the time's right what I'm willing to pay. But, you know, we need people, basically, and this isn't just Sternberg. We need our politicians, too, because everybody's got great quotes. Rick Kreisman's had some good quotes. Jane Castor's had some. Bob Buckhorn's had some. Hagen's had some. Where you nod your head and say, yeah, I agree. Okay, great. We need everybody to put their cards on the table and say, here's what we have to do. Here's what we're going to try and sell to the public. And it doesn't have to be a tax increase on people. Like I've said, there's bed taxes, there's rental car, there's all kinds of ways. Of course, there's the Rays themselves. And again, we need to know, like, this is the number. Here's where, and present this. Have a plan, execute it. Don't just throw stuff out there, gauge reaction. Let everybody go back and forth on Twitter or in the papers or on sports talk radio. We've been doing that for over 10 years now. It's absurd. So the only other thing I'll say about the whole thing is this. We've been doing this wrong the entire time we've had a team. You know, we came in with the Diamondbacks in 98. And how did they come in? They came in with a brand new stadium right in downtown Phoenix, as we should have too. Like, we should have had all this planned out. Instead, we rushed a stadium because St. Pete wanted to beat Tampa to the punch and built a stadium in a place that's not a great location. And then now we've been bound to that for going on 30 years now. And I remember I was talking with my wife last night. I met my wife in 2005. You know, now it's 2019. We got married in 2010. So we're coming up on, you know, 9.5 years of marriage. And before that, we dated for 5 years. And she was like, do you remember like our first year or two when we were dating? Because there was stadium controversy even back then. And she said, do you remember how we like laughed at the idea of the Rays being at the Trop till 2027? Because I remember back then, like in 2007 or whatever, it was like, well, the lease says 2027. And we'd all be like, whatever, you know, they're not going to be there in 2027. Stop waving the lease around. And I'll be damned, they're going to be there till 20. Like, whether they end up getting a new stadium here or not, or moving either way, they're going to be at the Trop till like at least 2024. You know, 2024. Like, they're actually going to go the distance in that place, which is amazing to me. But again, I can tie all this into the Bucks for those of you that complain I don't talk about the Bucks enough. Because I still remember back in 1996 when the halfpenny sales tax was on the ballot. And I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. And I'm not saying I'd vote yes for it again. But I remember it basically coming down to vote yes on this referendum to build a new stadium with taxpayer money or the Bucks are going to leave. It was as simple as that. And when I was 16, and I wasn't very politically minded back then. I'm more so now. All I cared about, all I saw that was as, and again, I was a kid. Well, if we vote yes, the Bucks stay. If we vote no, they leave. This is easy, right? Right? And I was freaking out. I even remember I had one of those vote yes, and it was like a campaign sign, and it said vote yes, and it was a picture of half of a penny, and the other half of a penny was blacked out, and it said in white letters, vote yes. I should have kept the sign on whatever the referendum was. I forget the number or the name. And I remember after football practice at Jesuit High School, where I played when I was in high school, like in 1996, I would have been a junior in the fall of 96. And I remember like in the week leading up to the election, I actually stood. This is after practice. I just go out on Himes Avenue with my sign. I kept my sign in my car. I'd be like, let me do 20, 30 minutes with the sign, just try and get some votes. And I'd stand there in front of Jesuit with the sign, waving it to people going by on Himes. This is how I passed my time waiting for my mom to come pick me up when practice ended before she got off of work. She worked late a lot those years. So I remember doing that. And I remember the Sunday before the Tuesday vote where the Bucks hosted the Packers and got their asses kicked. It was 34-3. Still remember the score. I was there. And I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God, if the Bucks don't play well today, they're not going to garner enough support. People are going to be like, screw this. I'm not voting for this crap. And when they got hammered by 31 to the Packers, and I think it was Don Majkowski at the time. I think Favre was there by then. It was Favre, yeah. And they just got, again, they were just classic, just terrible Bucks. And I was like, oh my God, we're not going to get this referendum done. This is going to be bad. And well, remember 95, not 96. And we passed it. What was it, 53-47? And again, I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but I'm saying this. I haven't noticed that extra half penny as a consumer, and I'm really, really glad we passed it, and I'm really, really glad we have the Bucks. Joe Bucks fan, the website, wouldn't be here. Raymond James Stadium wouldn't be here, all right? The Super Bowl that's coming here again after already being here wouldn't be here. The national championship game, we just all these things that we have. And again, maybe you don't care about any of this and you think, well, screw it, it's not worth it. Did the Glazers fleece people? Sure they did. Was it a ripoff? Sure it is. Highway robbery. Probably shouldn't even be legal. But look me in the eye and tell me you'd rather have it been the other way and they voted no. I wouldn't be sitting here doing this show right now, probably. You wouldn't be listening to it. I don't know. I mean, there's no way to know but the Bucks probably would have moved to somewhere, whether it would have been Baltimore before they got the Ravens or whatever else. And I'm really glad that didn't happen. I just know that much. Like, my life has been better, and maybe I need to get a life, but my life has been better because we kept the Bucks. And the extra, whatever it is, few hundred bucks a year that I've probably paid in taxes as an adult with that extra half penny, I could not give one charbroiled rat's ass about, okay? And I'd probably vote for it all over again. And I'm not saying we even need to do that with the Rays stadium, because we don't. The political climate's completely different now. But to me, there's value in having sports teams. Is it worth selling your soul over? No. But, you know, I think about all the memories I have of the not just the Bucks games in general, but the Super Bowl, the playoffs, the 97 season, which I guess maybe still would have happened because that would have been probably their final season. I don't know. But we're better off for it. The times I've spent with friends, all my friends coming over to my house every year like they do for games or for the draft or whatever. And those are all things that wouldn't happen without having, I mean, to me, there's value in it. And everybody can decide for themselves what's more valuable to them and where the value lies. And if it's worth paying extra this, that, or the other in taxes, I'm not sure. But it's just like anything else. If you care only about the whatever it is, 5,000 square feet inside of your property lines or however much property you have, whatever it is, and not a damn thing about what's outside your own property lines at your house or your apartment or wherever it is, that's fine. That's perfectly valid. I'm a Tampa guy. I'm a Tampa Bay guy. I care more about just me. I care about the area. In this case, the Bucs do serve me, but whether it's art museums or whether it's Curtis Hickson Park or Julian B. Lane Riverfront Park or the Bucs or the Performing Arts Center, whatever it is, I always feel like we're better off when we invest in those things. And I know the optics of it aren't good because people say, oh, these guys are millionaires. We have to pay for their stuff. I get that. I would not sign a deal like the one for the Glazers when it comes to the Rays. But I see nothing wrong, honestly, with joint investment between the team and the whatever municipality it is, St. Pete, Tampa, Hillsborough County, you name it, especially if it can be done creatively. And there are ways. I don't have a problem with that, okay? And I know this. I think we're going to keep the Rays. I'm not worried about them leaving. I think this is all going to get done. I think it's a little bit ridiculous that it's taken this long. I mean, at least with the Bucks thing, that was a saga that unfolded over the course of a few years. And then it was, it was either going to be done or not done, but it was going to be done as a story. And it was, we did that thing and we got Raymond James Stadium. Fine. This one's drawn out over 15 almost years now. I mean, that's absurd. Like, that is really absurd. And that goes back to the leadership issue. And, Stu, that's my one criticism of him. Step up, communicate clearly what you want to happen, what you're willing to do to make it happen, and what you are asking us to do to also make it happen. And we can accept or reject that, but communicate clearly. There's been no clear communication at all from the Rays, who have been very, very furtive, I think, with a lot of this. And, of course, the inability to bring together local politicians, whether it's on, and then this is part of the problem, is because you got St. Pete and Rick Kreisman. His job's to look out for St. Pete. He's the mayor. Same thing with Jane Castor in Tampa, or Hillsborough County's commissioners, or Pinellas County's commissioners. And that's the problem. We don't, we're a kind of a unique metro area because we're not one big city that everything grew out of. Tampa's pretty big. St. Pete's not quite as big, but also kind of big. But we are, our strength is in that we're a whole area. No one part of it, St. Pete, Tampa, Clearwater, Pasco County, no one part of it stands alone. So maybe that's the problem, is we, our strength is being the Tampa Bay area, but we don't have a Tampa Bay area government. We've got all these other governments, and that's, unavoidable. So Hillsborough County is not worried about Pinellas County. Pinellas County is not worried about Pasco County. Nobody's worried about anybody else, and I think that's the biggest problem. We almost need like a Tampa Bay area government somehow. I wish there was a way to just combine everything into one like overseer. It's almost like college football. You got all these conference commissioners, these fiefdoms. There's no commissioner. NFL's got a commissioner. MLB's got a commissioner. All the pro leagues. But college football doesn't have like one internal body looking out for it. Everybody's just trying to figure these things out by slopping together all these different factions and getting them to agree on things, and that's hard to do. And that's why we're having that's a big reason why we're having this problem. We need like a mayor of Tampa Bay, a council of Tampa Bay. I don't know, I'm just throwing stuff out there. Let's combine Tampa and Hillsborough and Pinellas, make it one county. Maybe that's what we need to do. I don't know. But that's the, I'm being facetious. That is the problem, though. A big part of the problem is we don't have any one organized central thing looking out for the whole area. And we've got like the, visit Tampa Bay, that type of thing, the tourist industry, but not as far as government goes. So anyway, final point on this whole thing, and John Romano, who is a hell of a columnist, if you read the Tampa Bay Times, he was always a sports columnist. Then he went over to general columnist for news and stuff, and I missed him in sports, but I also thought he was so good with that. I was like, okay, this was worth it. Now he's gone back to sports, and I miss him as a general columnist because he was so good at that, but now I'm glad he's back in sports. So he wrote a great column, and if you have a chance to go online and read it, or if you get the paper, which I hope you do get the paper, but I know a lot of you don't. But if you get a chance to, the headline, or at least online, the headline was, if the Montreal idea is bogus, what are the Rays really thinking? And he goes on and on about how, you know, this was inevitable. Not the idea that they're going to move, but the idea that eventually, after all the talking and everything finally petered out, that Stu was going to apply pressure. I mean, something, there's been no pressure applied. Like, all these talks and everything, to Stu's credit, you know, he hasn't pulled that card yet, but now he did. And it's a half-baked, completely untenable idea that no one would ever think would work. But maybe that's the point, you know? So, be pissed at Sternberg all you want. And again, I was insulted by the very idea of this plan even being proposed. But I also believe, and I think it's pretty obvious, that he's looking for a way to say, hey, let's do something that we can get, you know, like do something now. And the biggest criticism I have is that he also needs to do something. And he hasn't, and I don't mean make a threat. I mean, he has to come up with something and propose it. And he's never really done that beyond. I mean, the Ebor thing had no financing, no backing, no plan behind it. It was just drawings of a stadium. And that was it. Get the whole thing. Start from the ground up. Here's how we want to pay for this. Here's how I'll pay for it. Do all that. And we'll go from there. But this is just yet another page in the saga. And there are many more to come. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. BobbyGameDay on Twitter @BobbyGameDay. Speaking of pages and adding another page and turning the page, I'm not even going to like go over this today because I know you're all sick of it. I am too. That's the sound of me right there turning the page on Gerald McCoy, who once again talked about how hurt his feelings are. Will not shut the F up about the Bucks. And I'm not going to blame him completely because he was asked about it. He went on whatever one of those ESPN shows. But, you know, heard about the number, heard about this and that and the other. You know, I've gone from defending McCoy, and because he, you know, really did get a raw deal here, I think, and the Bucks should have at least called him and let him know what was going on. They just basically treated him like dirt once Arians took over, and I think that's kind of D, okay? But even though I think that, just hearing all of his whining and bitching is starting to turn me against him, even though I didn't dislike him to begin with. Just go play for the Panthers, dude. Like, just seriously, go play for the Panthers, okay? See you in London, whatever. It's just, it's business, man. I think he's really sensitive. I think he's too sensitive. That's not necessarily a bad thing overall, but in this case, it's gotten to be the extreme. Like, I don't want to hear any more about it. One other thing that I wanted to get to, or actually two other things. OJ on Twitter, okay? I had to mute it. There was a bunch of stuff this week when OJ joined Twitter, and all these people retweeting things about OJ and retweeting OJ himself and saying, oh man, how great is this website? Can you believe this? Now we get to watch this show unfold. What a train wreck. I can't look away. You need to look away. Because I follow a lot of you guys back when you follow me. And then I get people retweeting OJ on my timeline and stuff like that, thinking it's funny. He killed two people, okay? He killed two people. And those people had families. Imagine being like Ron Goldman's dad. There's a million family members for both Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. I remember seeing Ron Goldman like get up behind a podium in front of the media sobbing and still finding the strength to get up there and talk about his son, you know, back when this story was, you know, this is 20 years ago. But he's still out there. Imagine somebody murdering one of your children, not being in jail for it, and then years later going on Twitter, oh, here I am on Twitter, folks. I'm going to have a lot of opinions. Give me a follow. And everybody going, oh, OJ's on Twitter. Can you believe it? You know, not only don't retweet or all that, don't even follow him. And I know most of the population's not on Twitter. So as a Twitter person, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that most regular people aren't in this world we live in anyway. But he killed two people. Don't give him any more attention. And think about how you would feel. Honestly, I can't even imagine, like, if something like what happened to Ron Goldman's family happened to me, where a family member was murdered and the person was just out there living their life, like, I give them credit for not killing them myself, because I would probably go kill him. Like, if it was me, I would probably go shoot O.J. Simpson. I wouldn't even care if I went to jail. I couldn't watch this guy, like, be out there living. It does happen sometimes, unfortunately. And, you know, I guess they just have to live with it. And that's really sad. But don't make it a sideshow. Don't make light of it, and don't make it a big deal. We are at 35 days from right now. I'm recording this on Friday morning. Between now and Friday, July 26th, that's exactly 5 weeks, 35 days between now and the opening of Bucks training camp. We got five more shows to go between now and then. Of course, there'll be things happening between now and then, but not much in the football realm. And so let's not lose sight of it. Whatever it is you're doing in life, start getting your affairs in order, folks, because 5 weeks is not that much, and it's going to be a whole different ball game, at least for the first few weeks of camp when the Bucks record is still 0-0, and we can all celebrate that fact for a while. So in the meantime, take care of yourselves. Enjoy the weekend. This is that weekend before the holiday weekend, but those can be fun too, and wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you know, I want you all to know I want to thank you for tuning into this show, for giving me this platform, the Joes for having me on JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place on the internet for Bucks news and anything Bucks all season long. A bunch of new articles every day, even in the off season, like right now. I want to thank Bill Curry Ford, our sponsor. And that is it. We'll be back next week. That is the free stretch for the middle of June-ish here in 2019. Be safe, have fun this weekend, and remember, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.